Hi, this is Patsy with the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Well, today is February 1st, and it is an exciting day for me because, first, it is my sister Natalie's birthday, and she is known in our area as a connoisseur of cozy mysteries. So what better gift could I give her than an interview with one of her very favorite authors, Alyssa Maxwell, the author of The Gilded Newport Mysteries, and one of my sister's absolute favorites, A Lady and Lady's Maid Mysteries. So, Natalie, this interview is for you. And, Alyssa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Patsy. I'm so delighted to say that you are the favorite of your sister.
Well, you know, she is in our area. Ever since I started the program, she's the one who, you know, she always tells me, this mystery is so great, this mystery is so great. Well, we've been reading you for a long time, all the way back.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, when you think about it, in 2014, when you sat down and wrote these words, I think it's something like this. She awoke that morning to an angry sea. Now, do you remember that moment back all those years ago?
Do I remember the moment I wrote it, or do I remember
when that
book came out? Yeah. Wow. You know, we're going back to 2010, 2011 when I wrote the book.
And but, did you ever imagine that, you know, 10 years later, here you would be talking about the release of a Hallmark movie of that book?
No, definitely not. Although I think all authors kind of have that hope, generally speaking, but I never really imagined. And the fact that it's 10 years, 10-year anniversary, is just perfect.
It is. And it is, of course, your first book in the series. Now that it's almost 12, we're going to be having 12 this year. And that's Murder at the Breakers. And it's the Gilded Newport Mystery Series. And it's Hallmark movie. So today is a big day, but tomorrow, February 2nd, is the premiere on Hallmark Channel. Isn't it exciting?
Yeah. It's incredible. I keep pinching myself.
Well, it is, as you said, it's a dream of all authors to have this kind of thing happen. Of course, back in those days, we still didn't have streaming videos. So this is really great, you know, because in those days you hoped for a movie or maybe a one-hour television show, but you've got, you know, it's fantastic.
It really is. There are so many different ways that people can watch this. So you could really reach a wide audience.
Oh, and it's going to be, and as I said, this is book one, but you've been busy all these years, and one book after another, all of them fantastic. You are one of those writers who really captures an era and captures a location. So for people who don't know about the Vanderbilts and about Newport, tell us, well, how you came out with the idea. I think I know how you came out with the idea, but it is, until people go to Newport, they don't understand the splendor, but you bring it to life.
Well, first of all, thank you for all those kind words. And I think Newport has to be seen to really be understood. I mean, you have the incredible Gilded Age architecture and the craftsmanship and the artistry, but you also have pretty much every other period of American history right there on display, from colonial times with those wonderful salt box houses in the Point section through, you know, federal and the various Victorian types of architecture. So it's almost overwhelming, I think, for the first-time visitor to see everything and really absorb how much history Newport has to offer.
It is marvelous. I tell you, my first trip to Newport was just before the pandemic, the year before the pandemic, and the daffodils It was so glorious. I was like in, it was like being in heaven.
Isn't that incredible? Fields of daffodils and also hydrangeas some years are just so spectacular. When they bloom that beautiful blue color, that's a very popular flower to see in Newport. It's funny that you said you went there the year before the pandemic because the executive producer on the project, one of them, toured the Breakers, I believe, that same year, and that's where he found my book and bought it and read it and decided this was a good project for Hallmark.
Wow. So that's how it was discovered. That's such a wonderful story.
That is, exactly. Exactly.
So now tomorrow we get to see it, and it's so exciting. So tell us about the cast and what you discovered, and did you get to go on site? And just share this story with everyone, because I know all of my listeners are so excited, both the ones who just love reading, mysteries, and then the ones who write them. This is really a dream come true.
Yes, yeah, it really is. It had been going on for years, as I said. The book was found right before the pandemic. So, that was 4 or 5 years ago now? Of course, the pandemic slowed everything down. And then we had the writer's strike and all of that. But when we finally got notice that this was a go, it was back in this past September. And they told us, we're going to start filming in about a week. And I couldn't believe it. I did not get a chance to go, unfortunately. I wish I had, but I didn't have enough notice to really plan a trip like that. I live in Florida. But as far as the cast, I'm first of all, delighted with Emma. Ali Scovey just brought my Emma to life with all her different facets. Her strength countered with her vulnerability, and she also happens to be the same age as my character, which I really appreciate that they went with an actress, at the same age. But it's a young cast. The two gentlemen in it, Danny Griffin and Nathan Witt, are also very young, very handsome, and I think the dynamic between the three of them, if they decide to do more movies, would just be just great.
Oh, they have to. They have to, because I watched the preview. It's on, everybody, it's on Hallmark. You can go to the Hallmark website, and there's a preview. So you can see it today, and then tomorrow night, you just be ready there to sit and watch it, because they really did pick a great cast. Of course, the guys are handsome, and she is lovely.
Yes, they are.
She really does capture she embodies what I think you envision for your, Emmeline Cross.
Yes.
So explain the backstory so that people understand a little bit more about the book.
And about who Emma is.
Yeah, because Emma is really, I think she's such a standout character. Being a reporter and all of that really makes it so much fun, because, in the beginning, the first book where you start that opening, and I don't know if that was, everybody always wonders how should they open a book, sentence, the first thing, and you start with this little opening where Emma is writing she's planning to write a murder mystery.
Right.
And that's how you bring us right into this story, into who she is, into what, what's going to happen to her. It's all so exciting. And as I said, your writing is terrific. I remember one of the, I went back and, of course, for this interview, I went back and looked at, my sister has the entire collection. She has like 500 cozy mysteries in her bedroom.
Oh.
We turned her closet into a little mini library. And one of the things I noticed in that second paragraph where Emma is writing and she She says something, and this sort of carried through with me. She writes, "But I was having a dickens of a time that morning." And I remember that line when I read it, because most people don't, when they hear that word, a dickens of a time, they think it refers to Charles Dickens, but actually it's much earlier. And Charlotte Bronte uses the term dickens in her Jane Eyre. So sort of always, as I'm reading your books, I have that little bit of hint of Charlotte Bronte in them.
Well, you know what? The Bronte sisters are among my favorites. So I have, you know, no doubt that somewhere there is some of that influence. I also love Daphne du Maurier. So I've always read atmospheric, kind of, you know, with strong heroines. Mary Stuart was another one of my favorite authors. But yeah, you know, I wanted a character that would be able to investigate these crimes. So I figured, you know, she needs to be able to go to the mansions. She needs to be able to work her way through Newport among, you know, the regular people. So that's why I made her half Vanderbilt on her father's side, but not a rich one, and a Newporter on her mother's side. And that, to me, just would put her in the right place at the right time, especially being a journalist who covers the society events every summer.
Yes, because they're not all that welcoming to strangers. I mean, you really do have to have some kind of pedigree to get in with that crowd. And otherwise, you just aren't accepted into the drawing rooms, into the society. So you did exactly the right thing. And of course,
right,
being a modern woman, because, you know, it starts in the first one starts right before the turn of the century, I think 1895. And we're now getting up to book 12, and I think it's 1901. So we have a nice stretch of time there between, you know, that you cover. And definitely right. That is an age. Tell us a little bit more too about the Vanderbilts, because we hear that word, people hear that word, they hear about the university. Most people don't understand how important those people were.
Well, they were very, very important. These were the leaders in industry and technology. You know, the Vanderbilts, the Astors, the Berwyns, the Goleys. These people were driving America's economy and the direction of America's future and society. But what I learned about them, though, is that they were also very regular people. They had the same issues that the rest of us deal with. They had rebellious kids and family angst and, you know, estrangement and health issues. So all of their money and all of their privilege still couldn't protect them from all of that. And through that, through learning that and really seeing it in the biographies I read, I came to be very fond of the Vanderbilts. You know, almost to the point where they're Emma's family, they almost feel like they're my family too. I'm very fond of Cornelius and Alice and their son Neely, who plays a pretty large role in this first book, Murder at the Breakers, and in the movie. So I just really enjoy getting to know them, you know, on a more personal level. I think most of us consider those names almost like icons in American history. But to me, they are very much individuals, you know, with feelings and aspirations and all of that.
They're just like the rest of us, except they dress better.
They dress a lot better. They live in houses that, you know, have to be seen to be believed. But again, you know, that's all external stuff. Internally, they were very much human beings like the rest of us.
Well, that's why your writing is so excellent, because you do bring that through the characters. You tell the story and you make them not just fascinating as, you know, important people, but just as human beings. And I admire your writing so much, because that's a great talent. And what I love, of course, for people who are going to be watching the show, But you do describe, you know, the places and the locations and the clothes. So you must have had a lot of fun doing research.
The research into clothes and things like that is a real rabbit hole. I could spend hours going through Worth gowns in the Met collection, the Met Museum. They have an online database of beautiful gowns and outfits from the time period. So, yeah, that kind of research is a lot of fun to me.
And it is a rabbit hole because you do get carried away when there's so much to learn and so much to see. Now, when you're, you know, as I said, that was book one, and you've come through these years, and we're heading now into, I think, the book 12 is coming out in sometime at the end of the year, September, August?
In August.
And we're going to have you back on the program for the release date for that one, because I know it's going to be lots of fun to read. And of course, as I said, you bring them through the turn of the century and into, in many ways, a new era.
Yes. Yeah, lot was changing at that time. For women and for society.
Now, when you first heard, of course, let's go back a little bit even more, because you are, you know, when you started writing for the very first book, when you wrote it, did you already have an agent, or did you need to find an agent? How did that first book get published to start off this big?
Right. Yeah, I had had an agent. I had been writing in historical romance for several years. And when I decided to switch over to mystery, my agent and I actually put our heads together to develop this. I knew I wanted to write a series set in Newport, Rhode Island. And, you know, he encouraged me to use the mansions and those people and to kind of blend it all with the rest of Newport, so that, you know, we do have this character that exists in both worlds. But now he was instrumental in helping me put this all together and then getting it sold to my publisher, Kensington. And he's been with me every step of the way ever since.
Well, I always say that a good agent is worth their weight in gold. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really turned out in your case.
Absolutely. He's a fabulous agent. His name is Evan Marshall, and you know, it's a friendship. You know, yes, it's a business partnership, but it's also a friendship. You need to be able to trust your agent.
And of course, when an agent brings you a story or it works with you to build your story that you want, that's such a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So going even further back, so when your very first book, how did you find that agent? Had you gone through that query letter stage?
You know, I had early on, before I sold my first book, I queried quite a bit. I did get an agent. She was not able to sell me. I finally sold my first book as a result of a writing contest through the Romance Writers of America. And right before it came out, I attended their big national conference in New York that year and met my agent at the cocktail party that my publisher was holding. And yeah, we met, we clicked, and that was, 2003, I think? So we've been doing this together ever since.
Well, he was lucky to find you, and you were lucky to find him. And it is
exactly
true that many relationships do start at these conventions, in the bar, or at the cocktail party, because it's a time where you get to really chat with somebody, and they get to know you. And when they find you interesting, they want to know more.
Yes, yes. And he did, and I submitted to him, and yeah.
Well, and of course, the way that somebody discovered your book, it was on sale in Newport, and a producer just picked it up?
Yeah, the Preservation Society of Newport County has been very supportive and generous by having my books in all of their gift shops at the mansions, and they have one in town, and they carry the series. So they're very on display, very prominent in those gift shops. So, yes, when the producer just happened to tour the Breakers that day and walk through the gift shop, there it was. He saw it. It caught his attention immediately. And that's how it was discovered.
Well, it was meant to be. As we say in Yiddish, yeah. Beshert, it was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Luck plays such a large part in so many things like this.
And now the program airs tomorrow. People can check the schedule because it's at different times, but it's going to be on Hallmark TV.
Hallmark,
what are you going to be doing?
And mysteries. It's Hallmark movies and mysteries. So
the movies and mysteries channel.
Different channels. Yes. Yes. I will be at a friend's house because her TV room is bigger than mine. And we'll be joined by some other friends. We're going to drink a little champagne and eat some goodies and watch and take some pictures of us all there together. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll be beside myself.
Oh, and it's just, I love this story because it is, you know, when I always talk about that Joy on Paper is a program for people who want to know the story behind the book. And they really do. I think more and more I've discovered as I've been doing this program, it's going to be the 9th anniversary of Joy on Paper in March. And people will come to me and they'll say, well, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to read that book or this book or that book. And then I heard you talking to the author, and the author sounded so interesting that I said, well, I have to read that book. And it is wonderful the way that an author can connect with readers. You must have now, well, you have so many fans already, but after this premiere tomorrow, you're going to have millions of fans.
We'll see.
Well, what's the nicest thing that a fan has ever said to you?
Oh, I had a fan send me 4 beautiful teacups that her mother had gotten as a gift, actually from my husband's great aunt, because this woman, when she was young, rented a room in the husband's great aunt's house. It was during World War II, and she was a Navy bride. Her husband was stationed in Newport. And they would have tea every afternoon with these teacups. Decades later, the woman discovered Murder at the Breakers in her nursing home on the reading cart, and read it and told her daughter to email me because the book brought her so much joy, you know, bringing back memories of her beloved Newport. And when she passed away, her daughter sent me those teacups. So that is, to me, I will never have an experience quite that wonderful and touching. And
oh, that's so beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes.
It is.
Just to think about it.
I miss stuff every time I think about it. I get misty and teary, but it really, I don't think anything could ever be quite as special as that.
And I love that you used the word, it brought joy. And that's what your books do. And, you know, for all the, particularly for all the cozy mystery authors, I want them to understand that you really do bring joy. And one of the things I, you know, share my books a lot with readers, Carolyn Hart, who, of course, is a Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster. She one time sent me 2 big boxes of books, and she said, share them with the people that you see. And if you go to, like, and she said, if you go to a nursing home, hand them out and share the joy. And I was so impressed because I had just started the program, and I hadn't thought of it myself, but she did. And because mm-hmm. she had this a sort of a similar thing where somebody said, you know, they were sitting in a hospital, and it was one thing that kept them going for several weeks, reading her books.
Yeah. Fiction is such a powerful medium. I think it people can bond over what they read, and even though it's not real, it feels real to the reader. And I just think that shared experience of reading books and talking about them, just it brings people together, and it evokes emotions that feel as real as I think real life sometimes.
Well, and when you're reading, particularly your books, I think that Emma Cross is such a great character, and especially, you know, as anybody who loves writing and loves books, you right away get into her personality and how she looks at things. And of course, that's how you look at things, but we're looking at it through Emma's eyes, and we're saying, oh, she's so observant. So
yeah, of course, I think she's actually more observant than I am.
That's what I was going to say. Sometimes she must seem to take over for you.
Yeah. Well, she does feel like an old friend of mine now, you know, almost like a sister.
And you mentioned again Newport. I think your husband's from Newport. Is that where the connection comes?
Yeah, his family has very, very deep roots in Newport. Generations have been there. So, yeah, they're actually part of Newport history themselves. In fact, we know that during the 1920s, when some of the mansions were being knocked down because they had become white elephants, his family's company was doing some of that work.
Well, that's a great connection. Yeah. I knocked out.
Yeah, no. Well.
but they did reclaim some of the... Because it makes you old Newport, and which is important. Right. And I'm sure that everybody in Newport is going to be so excited. They must be having watch parties up there tomorrow.
I think so. Yeah. We've heard about a lot of excitement up there.
And I'm thinking about, you know, some of the places there where people are going to be really gathering, because I think they're going to want to watch this movie and get themselves back into that era and think about it and remember it, because it is written so beautifully. And from the preview, which is, again, everybody, you can see it on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries website. They have a preview today. So you can have a look and see the characters and see. I love when I was looking at the three of the main characters. They do have a lovely dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. Yeah.
So are you going to have the opportunity at some point to meet them?
Well, I don't know. If they decide to do another movie, I'm going to try my hardest to get up there to at least watch a scene or two being filmed. So maybe.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm sure they will. I'm telling you, this is just too good. You can't resist it. It's going to be wonderful. And then you have to do more than just watch it. You have to say, I need a gown. I want to be an extra at one of those balls.
I would love that.
Right?
That would be my dream.
Well, do they have these balls, like recreation balls, where you can still go to a ball?
Actually, there are. I've never been, but I do hear about them. I have Facebook acquaintances who actually do that, who wear not just costumes, but dresses that are tailored for them and beautifully done in an authentic way. And then they attend these balls. I suppose they're probably through clubs or, you know, some kind of organization.
Well, I think what you should do is get yourself a dressmaker and start having someone make you this beautiful, extravagant, gorgeous gown. And you can tell the production company, I'm all ready. I'm bringing my own phone. Because I think you're going to be in demand up there to go to events, to sign more and more and more books. It's going to be lots of fun. Yeah, you should. I think you should dress up. You have to. I think. You're so pretty anyway that you're going to look just gorgeous in one of these gowns.
I would love it, and I would wear the corset and the whole thing.
Of course, with all you can wear the jewels too. So.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, you're going to be selling so many more books now. It's like going to be cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And that's what happens after a Hallmark movie. You'll be able to buy some of the jewels to go with that gown.
Okay. If that sounds good, yes.
Yeah, it does. It's gonna look beautiful. And as a matter of fact, are you scheduled to go up and do a book signing now in the spring? During the daffodils, when the daffodils come out?
Oh, I am not. We're probably going up in early September, right after the next book releases. Because I was just there signing Murder at the Elms when that had just come out. So, you know, the timing is probably better if I wait for Murder at Vinland to have come out.
And as I said, so Murder in Vinland is coming out, and it's book 12, and you have been busy these years.
I have, and I will continue to be busy.
I'm sure you're working on number 13 already.
Not quite. I'm still writing a Lady and Lady's Maid mystery, number 9.
Oh,
but as soon as I'm done with that, I will delve into the next new board book.
My sister loves that series, particularly. I mean, she loves both series, but she loves the Lady's Maid series. She just finds it so. Again, you go. It's the backstory of fashion and about my sister loves to sew, and so she's always been interested in fashion. And so whenever there's a book that includes stories about how to dress up and about clothes, she reads it.
Yeah, and I do love 20s fashion. So since this is set in the early 20s, I love looking at those pictures and researching those fashions.
So
maybe your
again,
sister could make me something.
You know, I just want to compliment you so much. It's well deserved, because I'm glad that as you mentioned, you're a fan of the Brontes, and your writing is so really exquisite in so many ways. I would get to as I've been reviewing them and going through the books, and I get to just sort of lines that are just perfectly written, descriptions that are just so evocative, and I keep thinking to myself, wow, this is a fantastic author.
Well, thank you so much for that. You know, some days There are moments where I can't do this at all. So to hear that from a reader means the world.
And of course, I've been encouraging all of my listeners to read more and to share books, share their when they love a book, to really tell people about it. Because we need more readers. We need more people to really, I think, in this very difficult times, that reading and just taking a little bit of time to sort of chill out and to go to a different time period, whether it's the 20s or whether it's the turn of the last century. I think it just helps. It helps sometimes to sort of center us a little bit. And with the stories of real people, as you mentioned about the Vanderbilts, and looking behind just the headlines and finding that they're just ordinary people in so many ways, and just to get to know them.
Yes. Yeah, I so agree.
Now, when you are celebrating tomorrow, I know that everybody will be, all of my listeners who will be watching will also be celebrating with you, because you've accomplished something that so many people dream about. and it's well deserved. I'm looking forward to having you back here in August, and we'll talk. And I'm certain that, as a matter of fact, I'm going to ask my readers if they want to send in some questions that I can ask you, because I think they will be very interested in how this entire Hallmark extravaganza has turned out.
Yes, I would love that. I love to answer readers' questions, so that would be great.
And now you have a website people can go to, and they can find out more there about both series.
Right.
And you also, I think you have a blog, right?
I have my blog is part of my website. I don't blog all that often, but I'm on Facebook as Alyssa Maxwell. I think you can find it, Alyssa Maxwell Author. I have Instagram I'm pretty active on, and I'm on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. And I have some Pinterest pages for people who like that. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of different things people can find.
Well, I just want to tell everyone again, Murder at the Breakers will be a featured movie on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries tomorrow, February 2nd. It premieres at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then it will also be streaming on Peacock for the next 3 days. And I think it's going to be repeated again. Well, it's going to be repeated many times over the years. But
right.
Again, one more time, tell us the actors who are playing the parts.
Oh, Ali Scobie plays Emma. Nathan Witt plays Derek. And Danny Griffin plays Jesse White.
Well, they are a fantastic trio. They have brought the story to life. And again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper, the Gilded Newport Mysteries. And this is the first book, Murder at the Breakers. And I am so happy that this has become a movie. And I know that there will be more, because people will just enjoy it so much. I'm so very happy. And maybe you could say happy birthday to my sister, Natalie.
Oh, happy birthday, Natalie.
What?
Have a wonderful day. When is her birthday?
Today.
Oh, well, mine is Saturday.
Oh,
so,
okay.
To a fellow Aquarian, happy birthday.
That's it. That's well, it's funny. Actually, I got her something that has Aquarian on it, because that's, of course, the star sign. And so she really loves your books. And I know she is. She's listening, and I'm sure she's saying congratulations to you. And we will be watching tomorrow night. Alyssa Maxwell, you're a fantastic author. And I know that you have brought joy to many people's lives. And with the new story, with the series, I'm calling it a series. Hey, Hallmark, I'm calling this a series. You better make it a series now, right?
I'm fine with that.
I'm
sure
you are.
Thank you so much, Patsy.
And,
thank you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I want to remind people about this. You can, after the program, you can write to Hallmark. If you like a program, if you like something on Hallmark, if you write to them and say, I would like this to be a series, I don't know if you realize that. Hallmark pays attention.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Good to know.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that personally.
This is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to remind my listeners again next Tuesday that all they have to do is go to Hallmark and say, I would like this to be a series. And Hallmark pays attention, because they know when people are willing to take that time to send them an email, they know that people liked it.
Right, right. Well, fantastic.
Okay, well, let the champagne bubbles tickle your nose tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wonderful night, and we will all be thinking about you and looking forward to having you back here in August, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Patsy. This has been such a pleasure, and
well,
I look forward to that.
It's been a joy to talk to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wow. Well, this is fantastic. What a day. What a day. I was so happy to be able to talk to her and to promote this program tomorrow night. As I said, Natalie, it is Natalie's birthday. And we've already been to IHOP for her birthday pancakes. And she has an amazing ability to eat a lot of pancakes. She can eat more pancakes than I can, because that's what she likes to do first thing on her birthday. And so we did that, and then we're going to do lunch, and then we're going to do dinner. I think we don't normally eat so many meals, but on her birthday, we're going to do it all. And so it's really exciting. And I just want to, Natalie, I know you're listening, and I just want to say to you, thank you so much for everything. I know that, you know, for all of you people, if you're lucky enough to have a big sister like I was, when Natalie took me to the library, my first library, I will never forget it. We had moved from northern Michigan to Detroit, and we were very new to the city. We didn't know we weren't city people at all. And I was going into third grade, and she was already in high school. But I remember the day. It was like a week before the beginning of my going to school, Cortland School in Highland Park, Michigan. And I remember that day so well. She said, well, we'll go to the library and we'll see what books they have. And I didn't even know for sure. I mean, I knew vaguely that there were buildings that were called libraries and they had lots of books, and I was looking forward to it. And she took me to McGregor Public Library in Highland Park, Michigan. It was like, for me, it was paradise. I remember the day because it was August, the end of August, because in those days school always started the day after Labor Day. And so she took my hand, and because there was a big road there, Woodward Avenue, which was a 10-lane highway, which one of the first, I think it was the first major highway. Of course, it was Ford Motor Country, and they wanted a beautiful highway for all their advertisements. And I remember we walked across the street, and she's holding my hand, and we get closer and closer to this big, big building. And it was a building that was built in the 30s. And when you walked in, it was like, for me, it was better than the Taj Mahal. It was so beautiful. Everything was done in mahogany and oak. The floors were tiled. And I remember we walked up to the reception desk, and I was so, you know, up to that point, because we had been very poor, we didn't have a lot of books. I learned to read, you know, from comic books, and I could see this, you know, books. And there was the lady explained to Natalie, and she got Natalie a library card, and she explained that I could go to the children's room, and she pointed it out, and to the right. I remember walking through that door to the children's room, and it was so magnificent. It was so beautiful. There was a fireplace on the left-hand side. There was this gigantic dollhouse, a walk-around dollhouse that you could just peer in behind the glass, and books lining the walls. And the books started on the left-hand side with the letter A, and then they went around the room, you know, the shelves all around the room. And I was overwhelmed. I didn't cry, but I remember shaking. I couldn't believe it. And she said, you know, what do you want to read? And I said, and she, 'cause she wanted to get over to her area, to the big people's room. And so she just left me. And I know I was shaking. I was so overwhelmed with everything. I looked around and I was shy. And at the far end, there was a librarian, but I was too scared to talk to a librarian. So I started at the door with the A's, and I started reading with an A. And I started, and that's how I started reading. And over the next few years, I went around that room all the way to Z. It was a miracle. It was a place that even today I think about, particularly in the springtime, because they had these enormous, gigantic windows, the kind that you could, I don't know the word, you could push, you could open up. And of course, they had sort of a lock, so they only opened a little bit. But they could open them for fresh air in the springtime. And outside of the library, they had rows of lilac trees. So when you opened it, the lilac smell came into the room. It was so heady, it was so beautiful, that today, when I think about it, I do cry, because these horrible people who had this library in their hands, and they should have taken care of it, didn't take care of it. And today it is still there, and they covered the books with plastic. They boarded up the windows, and they've left it there to rot for years and years, because all of the systems of people who understood and loved books just collapsed. And those books today are being eaten by rats. And it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. And if I won the lottery, the first thing I would do is renovate that building. It's just unbelievable. But that's the joy of having a big sister. She took me there all the time. I did have, it was the only place I did have a library card. Because after that, and all the other libraries I went to, I always had overdue books because I could never return a book. So my sister had to always check books out, because she knew that I would keep them. I couldn't give them back. I was terrible. That's an aside. She took over getting books for me, because she never had an overdue book. To this day, she has never had an overdue book, and she loves to go to the library. She still loves to go to the library, and she's never had an overdue book. So that's my sister, Natalie. She is a connoisseur of cozy mysteries, and I am so very, very proud of her, and I want to really thank her so much today for her birthday. Thank her for all that she's done for me, for all of the as if that wasn't enough, over the years she gave me many of my favorite books. So she'd always find an author, she'd find a series that I'd love, and no matter where I was, and I lived overseas, I lived in strange places, I lived in the middle of nowhere, but I would, every once in a while, I'd get this package of books that she would send me, because she knew that I needed books. And so that's my sister, Natalie, and I'm just so blessed that, you know, all of these years that she has kept up with me. She has sort of limited herself to mysteries. She doesn't really go for thrillers, or she doesn't like a lot of, you know, blood and guts kind of books, but she loves mysteries. And so she is, as I said, we
turned her closet into a mini library. Of course, one of her favorite authors, and again another Kensington author, because Alyssa Maxwell is a Kensington author, and also Carol J. Perry is a Kensington author, and I want to thank Carol J. Perry so much for all of the books that she sent us, and those books, because the covers are so gorgeous, we love the Kensington covers that are on Carol J. Perry's books, and so we line those up so that we can look at them, because they are beautiful covers, and both Alyssa Maxwell and Carol J. Perry are very lucky to be with Kensington, and you know, it's amazing when you think Alyssa now is up to 12, and Carol J. Perry is working on her 15th book in her Witch City Mysteries. So if you are looking for a great mystery, that is a place to start. And I'm also telling Kensington that one of the things that I hope for Carol J. Perry is that they Hallmark or definitely should pick up Carol J. Perry's series, because she is set in, her books are set in Salem, and really fun books, and she's up to number 15. So I was happy that Alyssa used the word joy, that her books have brought joy to people, and that's what I'm hoping to do with you. And some people call me the last of the red hot book lovers, but I don't want to be the last of the red hot book lovers. I want to be the one who turns you into a red hot book lover, because we need more readers. And one of the ways that you can help is talk to people who you know who aren't reading a great deal. Talk to them about the books you're reading and encourage them. And once in a while, I mean, the best gift is always a book. To me, I have books that people gave me 30, 40 years ago, and they're treasures. They're still treasures, because they bring back not just the book, but the memory of the person who gave it to me. So get a book, give a book, and say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He reminded me on Tuesday that it was not Thursday, because I was a little bit, let's say, I was a little bit down because the Lions lost, but I shouldn't have been, because the Lions made it further than they had in years. So we live in hope. We live in hope. Say something nice to somebody today. And thank you, Ed, for everything. I salute you. And everybody, have a lovely, lovely weekend. Bye-bye now.